All right, this morning is going to be interesting. Today, the sermon has been written by, you ready? Dun, 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 drum roll. The moms in the church. All right. Listen, I normally like to be several weeks out. I normally like to sort of have a plan in place and sort of have some direction and have my outlines and my notes. And different things sort of occurred this week, and I was up one night. And when you're up late at night, sometimes the Holy Spirit can grab a hold of you, can't he? And he grabbed a hold of me that night, and he started posing in my mind this question that just kept coming over and over and over again. And I sat there and I jotted it down on a notepad, and I read some scripture, and then I jotted it down again. And I just went through that process several times, and then I said, "Well, I'll shoot a text out in the morning." That's how we do it now, right? We just shoot a big old group text out, you know, and see what comes of it. So I did that, and then I shot it out to some moms here in Cahoma. I shot it to some moms in Arkansas, to some moms in Tennessee. I spread the joy everywhere on this question, okay? And I just simply asked, basically along the lines of, you know, what if another mother came to you, maybe a younger mother came to you and just said, "Hey, give me some advice. What do I need to know?" What would you tell them? And through that, I got several responses. A little more than I was anticipating, to be honest with you. You know, with the responses I got, we could be here till about 5 o'clock tonight. But we won't, okay? We won't, all right? Calm your nerves, okay? I shuffled through all of them, and looking on my phone and getting texts and getting calls. And so I started jotting notes down and putting names next to it and looking through that, and then I started compiling it all, and I thought, man, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. And the neat thing about it is, out of all of those mothers, mothers from different backgrounds, mothers of different ages, mothers from different places, they started to have a common thread weaved in them. So as I looked at that, I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. You know, it's pretty neat that there I was sort of feeling convicted. I wasn't going in the right direction. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of me. And then, so I do this little exercise or this little thing. And then all of a sudden, right there before me, as I'm looking down at my legal pad, and I've got all my notes. And I am a doodler, so all my little funny faces and all my notes and all the neat stuff. And I'm looking down there, and it's just jumping out at me. This is what I'm supposed to talk about today. So from a mom's perspective on this Mother's Day, I would call it a recipe for success. But now here's the cool thing about it. Dads, don't go to sleep. Because we need it more than the moms. Amen. Amen, okay? We need this. And so this is the common thread, the recipe, whatever you want to call it this morning, of qualities of a strong Christian mother. Now, we're spending the first few months of me being here in Cahoma on one subject, and that's prayer, correct? Amen. Here's the first one Mom said today. Pray, pray, and then guess what? Pray some more. And I don't know how many times I wish I could almost show you the text, blow them up, show you the notes I got. And that was usually the very first one on every single time from mothers. Now get this, mothers that believe in Christ and mothers that do not. Pray, pray, and pray some more. And so when I thought of that and I see that, I couldn't help but think here, and you're going to have to flip fast this morning, okay? Flip over to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. And it says this, it says, "Rejoice always." Now, is that easy to do, church? In Sunday school, we discuss some moments in our family's lives. It's not always easy to rejoice. Amen, Brandon? It's not. It can be difficult. It can be hard to do, but it says, "Rejoice always. Pray without what? Ceasing." In other words, don't stop praying. Don't stop talking to the very one that gives us life. And that's what moms are saying this morning. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Moms and dads, are you hearing me? When you're ready to rip the belt off, when you're ready to take that hand, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For who? For you. And for me. Pray without ceasing. Pray without end. Now, I would dare say 99% of the moms that responded to me this week said in one of their top things, prayer is and must be essential to being a mother. Now, some went a little further and said, for my sanity, I have to have a strong prayer life. But now in their descriptions, I wanted to break it down. I thought this was pretty cool here. I broke it down in three. There were several, but these three stood out to me. The first thing is they said, I pray for them daily. A recipe for a successful mom is one that will pray for their family every single day, but not just pray for them. Catch it here. I'm going to let them know I'm praying for them. So when you go out, coach to play golf, kiddos, grandkids, I want you to know that as you're making those choices, know that I'm talking to God on your behalf. That's pretty important, amen? That's pretty special too. It's okay to let folks know you're praying for them, is it not? I think it is. I think it's encouraging. I had somebody slip in my office this morning. He said, I appreciate you and know I'm praying for you. That means the world to me. Because I know that someone and some folks are seeking God out on my behalf and saying, God, help him. Give him strength. Give him wisdom. Give him direction. And moms and dads, listen, he gives us the privilege to say, listen, every single day, we can pray without ceasing and we can pray for our children by name. Do your children need prayer? Do my children need prayer? No, come on, get loud and clap. Maybe they're watching. Okay? Pray without ceasing. Pray for them daily. Let them know. But here's the second one that stuck out to me. Pray with them. Now, how awesome is that? Well, I'm excited about some moms in our church here. I can tell you that right now. Pray with them. And there's sort of a side note along on their notes. Teach them to pray. Boy, is that not important? You want to be a successful parent, not only pray for them, but get them to have a desire to pray with you and show them and teach them how to pray. Now, it's praying, sitting down at our meal time and maybe grabbing our hands or doing this. Is that, I guess that you can call that prayer. But there's no magical formula. Do we understand that? You can be sitting in your truck. I guess I can't say a stop. We live in Kahoma. At a four-way stop sign. I know it's a stoplight. Doesn't work here, does it? At a four-way stop sign. And you can pray. There's no magic formula to it. But the cool thing about it is we can teach our kids to do that same thing. Now, the kids in the room are going, I already do it. My parents taught me well. When I sit down for a test that I hadn't studied to look for, I start praying. Yeah, I'm looking at one. He's getting a pat on the leg right now. Boy, I pray. I know how to do it. But that is so awesome to know that, again, over 90% of the responses, let them know that I'm praying for them. But not go the step beyond if I'm going to be successful. Listen, and say, I'm going to teach them how to pray. Not just pray before meals. Not just to do that, but to literally pray with an earnesty about what's going on in your life and be sincere about it. And believe about it. The last one that I saw, and this is so important too, and boy, if you're not doing this, parents, start today. Pray for their future. Do you hear me? Pray for their future spouse. You say, that sounds crazy. No! Start praying that they would find a godly match for them. And pray that that person they find will love God even more than we do. Start praying if they don't know Jesus. Start praying for salvation. It works, church. When we first arrived at our last church, Brush Creek Baptist Church there in Springdale, it's one of the first things I told my deacon team is, I said, guys, listen, both of my children do not know Christ. That is the one thing I desire more than anything in the world. It's the one thing me and Kathy pray about. We pray for salvation. We desire that. And so those guys with me, every time we get together, we prayed for the salvation of Dacey and Ryan. Guess what happened to 3 years in the ministry at Brush Creek? Both my kids prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And I baptized them in a creek. Yeah, a mountain creek, cold water. Felt good. I didn't lose Ryan either. He's a small guy. I didn't like put him under. I kept him. Maybe in shorts. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not messing with you. But we need to be praying for their future. Praying for their future education, their future jobs. I'd even say pray for their future health, their choices. Moms, we need to do that. Dads, we need to do that. And yes, we need to pray, and we need to pray, and we need to pray some more. We need to pray without ceasing in such a way that when they look at us and when they think about mom and dad, they think about somebody that loves them so very much that we didn't just try to lead them, but we tried to take them to the King of Kings to lead them. Moms, I'm proud of you. What an awesome, awesome thing to pray, pray, pray some more. The second one that I saw in that survey, Holy Spirit survey, we can call it, I sent out, was to lead by what? Example. Lead by example. Now, it sounds like common sense, but a lot of times if we don't check ourselves in the mirror, we're not doing a very good job, are we? Lead by example. Sunday school this morning, somebody in the Sunday school class this morning said, man, you don't realize how much they're soaking in. They're listening. They're watching. Amen. So lead by an example. One of my favorite scriptures, write it down, flip over there, read it this afternoon, read it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, read it every day this month, Romans 12, 1 and 2. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it talks about us, our spiritual sacrifices being a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. It's living for Him in such a way that our worship and that our lives and everything about us imitate Him, that the world around us doesn't see who? Me. But sees Christ. Moms, dads, are we being living sacrifices for Jesus Christ so that when our kids look at us, they don't even see mom and dad, but they see an almighty Jesus? How do we do that? Jotted some things down from what I saw in those notes and those texts. The first thing, I like this. One person, I'm not going to say their names. They said, want your family to worship? Guess what? You attend worship. Now, isn't that amazing? Does that sound hard to you? Now, I've known some circumstances, church, look at me. I've known some circumstances of some folks, and they've sat in my office or I've sat in their homes and their living rooms, and they said, I'm tired. I want my family to go to church. I want my family to worship. They believe in Jesus, and I want that more than anything. And it's easy for some of us to say, well, you just keep doing it, and you just keep doing it, right? Easy to say. It's a lot harder for them, right? They say, I'm tired. I've tried. I've done it for, and one person I'm thinking of right now, 20, 30 years. I've been committed and I'm not seeing the fruit of it. They're not having that desire still. What can I possibly do? What in the world? And it is hard and it's difficult and it's a struggle. But as parents, if we desire for our children to be a living sacrifice for Jesus, we better be doing it. We want our kids to attend worship. We better attend faithfully ourselves. But folks, there's a lot more than just showing up for worship. Do you understand that? Last thing we need at First Baptist is this, is every single week we walk into this room and we sit on our pew and we go through a routine. We don't need that, do we? We better not be doing it. If you are, I challenge you, and I'll do everything in my power to encourage and challenge you to get right. Because worship starts Monday morning in preparation for Sunday morning. Worship is an emotion and a power from within us that comes out to an almighty and majestic God. That's worship. And so we desire for our children to do it. We become living sacrifices and we say, okay, I'm going to faithfully go and participate in that. You want your family to serve? So I'm using this person's lines. You do it. You serve. You want your children to be involved in church? You get involved. That's what this person said. Now, I'm not going to say their names, okay? You can be mad at me if you don't like this, okay? You want your kids to be excited about church and excited about activities in church and about events in church? We have to be excited and energized and happy and want to be a part of it. Kids are going to imitate us, amen? What do you want them imitating? You want to serve? You serve. You want your family, this is my favorite, you want your family to grow in Christ? Now I'm going to read verbatim off a text. Here's what it says. You, in other words, moms and dads, have a visible, passionate, fruitful desire for Christ. Do you catch that? You want your family to grow in Christ? What is this mom saying? You better be growing in Christ. You hear me? How do you expect your children to desire Jesus if you have no desire for Him at all? Does it work that way? No! If we're going to be successful moms and dads, listen, we have to lead by an example. And we have to say, God, I want to be a living sacrifice for You. I want my life. I want my marriage. I want my family. I want my finances. I want my worship. I want everything about me. My business. My everything, God. My Little League sports. My daughter's dance. My son's urban gymnastics. I want everything, God, to be about You. That's being a living sacrifice for Jesus. You want to have a recipe for being a successful mom and dad? You pray, you pray, you pray. And then you become a living sacrifice for Him. Even when the trenches get tough. Amen? Is it always going to be easy, church? No. Life wouldn't be any fun if it was always easy. Amen? Good grief. No, it wouldn't. So lead by example. The third one here, and this is so, so important here, and I'm glad this was put a few different times. Simply said, you want to be successful as a parent? Time matters. You hear me? Time matters. Slow down. Now, I could pose a question this morning, and folks that are in their middle ages or maybe more mature would all agree with me right now. Maybe if you're not so young right now, you would agree with this. But as you get older, and I used to be one of those that would just, old folks, calm down. It doesn't get any faster. Calm down. And now I'm looking at time going, wait a minute. It does get faster. Why is the clock doing moving? What is it? What's going on here? What's the deal? We have to slow down, folks. Moms and dads, we have to slow down. Time does matter. We're going to blink, and guess what? Kids are going to be grown. Some of you are sitting in the room and saying, oh, I know. Some of you are like, they're old now, and they're hard-headed, and they still don't listen. Coach, look at me. Look at me. Okay. Time matters. 1 John 2:17 says, the world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. all these things will pass away. Amen. Again, country music, I'm sorry, I reference it a lot, but there's one country song that talks about you never see a hearse with a U-Haul trailer. You ever see that? You don't see that, do you? Yeah, I don't take none of it with you. So, I don't know, it's going to pass away. Psalm 46:10, the very first part of that verse, I guess you say A, simply says, be what? Still. We live in a busy world, don't we? Do we live in a busy world, church? We do. We go, go, go. I think COVID slowed us down a little bit. Maybe that should open our eyes up a little bit too, right? Maybe it should have taught us something there. But we just go and we go and we go and we go. And sometimes, and I think the moms are right here, we just need to be still. We just need to stop, breathe, and take it all in, right? I know I do. I'm 43. I have an 11-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son. And honestly, I can think about that and I can just like it was yesterday, just like that, I can think back to holding Daisy, adopting Daisy there at Wichita Falls, Texas in that hospital and holding her. And it seems just like, and that's just how time is just. Now I'm going to blink and she's going to be 16. Lord, help me right now. You know, I mean, just, you know, it's going to happen. And so we need to just stop and take it in. And, you know, I got to thinking about that. And several of the moms wrote that, and I couldn't help but think of the Scotty McCreery song. 5 more minutes, y'all know that song? Shake your heads if you listen to country music. That's been out a while. 5 more minutes. And I thought about that. Man, it's so true because life gets so busy. And I thought about some of those 5 more minute times, you know. And everybody in the room can think about that, can't you? Man, I wish I could just have 5 more minutes to do that again. And I was sitting there thinking there at the desk. I think, my goodness, 5 more minutes. For me, 5 more minutes would be, it's hard to believe, nearly 40 years ago now, 5 more minutes would have been sitting on the back deck of my neighbor's house, James and Sheila Hansen's house, their little back deck that didn't have a rail on it, with my best friend David, with our fishing poles, throwing those fishing poles out there, fishing for Tonka trucks. Just 5 more minutes to do that. It seems like yesterday. But now here time has flown by. And yes, we fished for Tonka trucks. We'd throw it out there and one of us would run out there and hook it on and run back and we'd reel it in and look at what I got. You know, and of course, Tonka trucks were this big, but they were always this big when we got to that, you know. Same, just work just like fish. It's amazing. But just 5 more minutes to do that. 5 more minutes to be able to sit down with my grandpa and play checkers. Granddaddy's been dead for nearly 25 years. 5 more minutes just to be able to sit down and do that and think. You know, there were probably times he wanted to play and I was just too busy as a kid. Boy, if I could have that back. 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes when our family all got together. How many of y'all's families all get together for holidays? Y'all still do that? Boy, it's sort of falling off nowadays, it seems like. When I was a kid, man, we all got together. Everybody, cousins and aunts and uncles and everybody. And I just thought, man, as a kid, sometimes I even dreaded it for some reason. But man, just 5 more minutes to do that again and 5 more minutes to have all the grandparents alive, 5 more minutes to have them all there together. Wouldn't that be awesome? We have to slow down a little bit. 5 more minutes with my grandmother Flack. Grandmother Flack had a little bitty den connected to her table area, connected to her kitchen area. You get the idea, it was small, okay? And she had one of these old glider sofas, you know what I'm talking about? You know, you sit down and you... Y'all know what I'm talking about, so I can stop doing this? Okay. A little two-seater deal, some of the ugliest 70 flowers on there, and you just sitting there like that. And she had a little TV up there with her little rabbit ears. And she loved Wheel of Fortune. How many like Wheel of Fortune? It's still on. Isn't that amazing? But anyway, okay, that's another story. And she'd watch Wheel of Fortune and then the news. Boy, if I could have had 5 more minutes to be able to sit down on that little glider with her. And I'm a back scratcher. I love my back get scratched. Hint, hint. Okay, anyway. And she would just sit there and scratch. We'd watch Wheel of Fortune together. And she would scratch the whole time. Isn't that awesome? Boy, she loved me, didn't she? Just scratch the whole time. Man, just 5 more minutes to sit there with that. do that. 5 more minutes. Boy, this one hit me hard. 5 more minutes. And this one's more recent. But 5 more minutes, if I could just get on the phone with my mentor, Harry. Gosh, if I could just have, he died at Thanksgiving. If I could just have 5 more minutes with Harry to talk to him about church, theology. Just 5 more minutes, even to shoot the breeze and talk about Georgia football or Tennessee football like we did so often. Man, if I just have that one more time. The moral of the story, guys, is this. We're so busy, we're missing out. Amen? We're not just being still and enjoying what God has rewarded us with. So my challenge is this. Take a few moments and just stop. Stop and remember the good times. Remember those good things. Some of us struggle today because our moms are not with us. So today, stop for a few moments and remember the sweetness in those memories. And enjoy the ones that God is still pouring in your life. Amen? Stop and breathe and enjoy those times. Why do we have to stop and breathe? My favorite book is the book of James. James 4:14 says, our lives are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And boy, as I get older, boy, that verse means more and more to me. We're just a mist. When we're kids, or especially when we're teenagers, boy, it just seems like we can do anything. Amen? And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're 40, and then you're 50, then you're 60. 80. I just said, sorry, coach. You know, somewhere in there, you know, you're somewhere in there. And it hits you. So if our life is a mist and it's going to vanish, we better take full advantage and we better pray. We better be a living sacrifice. And folks, listen, we better take opportunities just to love. Perfect timing. Just to love on what God has given us. Amen. Love on them. And to close on this, I know I'm going long. Teach them godly values. Boy, I couldn't leave that one off, parents. Teach them godly values. The one that jumped off is something I've used from this pulpit. Jesus first, others second, you last. Teach them godly values. Teach them, and this is one that sprung up a lot. Teach them to have a strong work ethic. Teach them responsibility. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. You know how many kids don't know how to change a tire nowadays? Teach them to do the basics of life so that when they grow up and they move on, listen, they don't have to call you on the phone and say, hey, which knob do I turn on the washing machine? How do I get the macaroni and cheese out of the box? Rowdy. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That didn't happen to him. Teach them a strong work ethic. Teach them to be responsible. Teach them to love and respect those that are older than them. Teach them to love and respect those in authority. Now, I'm going to chase some rabbits here because in the society we live in now, it really frustrates the fire out of me. Teach them to love and respect our military. Teach them to love and respect police officers and firemen and EMS and those that serve our communities so faithfully. Teach them to respect and love their neighbors. We have a job to do. And we want to be successful. We better be doing the godly values. And one that I saw, I'm going to end on this one. This just makes me laugh. Teach them to always love mama. That's what it said. Teach them to always love mama, period. Parentheses. And sometimes daddy. Parentheses. Let's erase that and say always daddy too. Amen, guys? Okay. Teach them to love and respect mom and dad. Recipe for a successful mom, recipe for a successful dad. It all begins with who? Jesus. Man, if we could get that right. If we could just get that right. So this morning, coming straight from moms, pray, lead by example. Slow down, for goodness sake. Take in those moments and teach values that can be taught to the generations to come. God is good. Amen. Praise God for our mothers.